Today on VFN TV, we're going to continue the wonderful interview with Ron Latini talking about unity and a march changing America.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Ron, tell us about Noonan, Georgia. This is a test outside the region. So you, what happened there so we can kind of get a taste of what's going to happen in the nation?
Yeah, that was an amazing, another amazing God-ordained God moment kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I retired from my church at Myrtle Grove this past June, just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And after 22 years of serving there, and 38 years total, but 22 at Myrtle Grove, mm-hmm. and I knew that God had called me into this new ministry. So my church supported me in that event. In that effort, rather, mm-hmm. and have loved me and supported me. So while it was bittersweet leaving that flock as their under-shepherd, mm-hmm. I had the confidence of knowing that I was doing something right and right. following the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I left there the day after, shot up to North Carolina to be with my family, my grandchild, three-year-old, and another grandbaby just soon to be born. We wanted to be up there for the birth and mm-hmm. help my daughter. So we camped out for the whole summer. So while I was there, I had a little coffee shop.
And wrote this book. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had this coffee shop I found in little Waxhaw, North Carolina, this quaint little town.
Waxhaw.
W-A-X-H-A-W.
Okay, Waxhaw.
Just 30 minutes south of Charlotte.
Okay.
Right on the borderline of South Carolina and North Carolina.
Okay.
It's a quaint little town, like going back to yesteryear, with a train running through it, you know.
Right.
There was a coffee shop called Crossroads, and they have a little attic up there, and I found a place where I could dictate my book, my dragon right. dictation, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. and work on the book. So while I was working all that, I got a phone call from a friend in Noonan, Georgia, a buddy of mine from seminary days. Mm-hmm. He's been there 22 years at his church, pastoring. And he said, Ron, he said, I want you to come. I heard you return. Could you come do a meeting, a revival meeting with me? I said, man, I'd love to. He says, and by the way, John, let me tell you what's been happening. It had been like 8 years since I talked to this guy. Mm-hmm. And I filled him in on the unity movement.
Right.
He said, Ron, you won't believe this. He said, brother, he said, about a year and 4 months ago, I think it was last year, April, mm-hmm. in Noonan, Georgia, there was a KKK neo-Nazi rally.
Ku Klux Klan?
Yeah, okay. and the neo-Nazi, kind of combination.
Okay.
Meeting, rally, event in downtown Noonan by the Confederate's statue.
Okay. Confederate,
in downtown Noonan. It's an old southern town, just south west of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, all right.
So he said, and brother, he says, since that time, the city fathers, you know, have come together and turned to the church and said, guys, we need to unite our community.
And who are the city fathers?
The mayor, pro tem, the police chief, sheriff, district attorney.
So they're all Christians, I guess?
Yeah, all happen to be all believers.
Oh, wow.
From different denominations.
And they're wanting an answer.
Yeah, they turn to the church. Because the pastors during that whole event, because mm-hmm. Antifa came, it was a big clash, it was in the newspapers. And
okay.
I don't know if folks that are listening now remember that. Mm-hmm. But in any event, the pastors started meeting with each other, maybe weeks that followed, and were meeting on a regular basis. The pastors were. Mm-hmm. And trying to do some good community stuff together,
right.
but didn't know how to bring their congregations together. Mm-hmm. So when John found out about this, he started emailing all of his buddies, said, listen, I've got a friend that'll be here the end of August, and he's going to be with me for 4 days preaching at my church. Mm-hmm. On Monday afternoon, I'm going to throw a luncheon. I'll treat you guys to lunch. Come hear his story. It's something that we may really need here in Noonan, a way for us to bring our people together. Well, the day came. It was Monday, the last Monday of August, this past August. They're at a restaurant in a banquet room mm-hmm. in Noonan. And it was to start at 11:30. We got there about 11:15. Mm-hmm. So John told me, he got with me, says, now, Ronnie says, I don't know who's going to show up, but there just may be you and me.
Right.
I says, well, John, even if one comes, it's all worth it, you know, not a problem. At 11:30, we were surprised. In comes walking the mayor pro tem, the sheriff, the police chief, the associate police chief, the district attorney for the city of Noonan,
awesome.
Walking in, followed by 20 pastors of the downtown Noonan area, racially and culturally diverse.
Oh, beautiful.
All sat there. We let them get their food first, I didn't eat.
Wow.
I took 45 minutes of their time. Yeah. They stayed, and I poured my heart out about what God was doing on the west side of Pensacola, mm-hmm. our intention to bring it in downtown Pensacola. We have the chief of police, with the chief deputy for the sheriff's department, the chief of police working
Chip
with us
Simmons,
for this for this deal in downtown Pensacola. And I said, man, I said, and I gave my website and said, listen, I'd be happy to help you in any way. Well, as far as I know right now, they are continuing to meet, following up.
I heard they began to cry, literally, someone was in tearing up about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, the police chief, when I got done, he had tears in his eyes and talked about how the day before, or was it the day of the day before, one of the two, that a couple of the pastors came over and laid hands on him and prayed over him, knowing the violence was going to be coming to their city. And indeed, that day he did. But the town had poured out, saying, this is not us in Noonan.
Right.
And there was kind of like a counter
thing
to all that. But
what you need to do as a town when something like that happens.
Yeah. And for me, that Greg, that afternoon, that luncheon, confirmed in my mind that what was resonating in the minds of hearts of believers of all these different denominations and leaders and pastors on the west side of Pensacola is resonating with these folks over here in Noonan, Georgia.
Right.
And I believe will resonate with people.
With the leaders.
With the leaders.
The ones that are leading the city. They're crying out for an answer. They don't know exactly what the answer is, but they want it.
Yeah.
But when they saw what God was doing through your life and what he's done, they're going, this is that.
Yeah.
This is what we need in our community.
Like the director of missions for the Baptist guy, he was there and he got up and said, you know, I believe this could work in our area.
Right.
So they're dealing with that right now, figuring out if they want to go forward. I'm sure
there's people right now that are watching us all around the world and in America, and they're thinking like, wow, that can happen here. I thought you were just telling me about something just in Pensacola, maybe just Noonan. But can they actually contact you about helping you?
Yeah.
Okay. How would they do that?
Yeah, the website is up and running now.
Okay.
Thank God I have a high-tech son-in-law.
Right, very good.
He put it together.
Yeah.
And he's going to manage it. Mm-hmm. But it's Unify in Christ.
You can see it on your screen right there right now, yeah?
Yeah, Unify in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on the web, and it's got all the information, videos to watch, telling the story. In fact, we just finished with a 27-minute video documentary.
Good one, yeah.
Telling the story beautifully, as the book will. The book, I pray, will be released in the spring of next year.
Right. Which has details in your book about
Step by step, how you could do it, how a community could actually put something similar like this together. I think the most important thing is the willingness, the want to, in our heart and mind when we tell God, okay.
The decision.
The decision.
Yeah.
To come together with people of different tribes, call them different denominational tribes and races and cultures. That, you know, let's come together, guys.
Right.
Let's make an impact. You know, in our own churches, we can teach our distinctive theologies, worship, and the preference in the ways we want. But when we come together at these events, these gathering events like we've done or the rally and march, we leave all of our differences at the door.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate only one thing, the gospel, the gospel. And we lift up and we sing about the gospel. We preach about, you know, how we're united through the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we declare too, and here's the evangelistic thing, and that really in Pensacola, we're really going to shoot in a much more intentional way on presenting the gospel at the end, which I did not necessarily do in depth at our west side.
Okay.
But at Pensacola, we plan to present the gospel, give a chance for people to pray out there and have a list of the churches that have signed on that they believe in the gospel. We'll have a list that if someone accepts Christ right there, and if you've just received the Lord, we're going to say, you can pick up a copy of this list. Every church has signed off that they believe the gospel. You let the Spirit of God lead you to where you feel you need to worship. But go this Sunday.
Right.
Find a church. Get in there. So we can do that. So with one voice to the city of Pensacola, whether it be on news, caught on camera, written in the newspaper, or people that are there by the bars, as we march past the bars and the restaurants, as you know, Seville Square, that people will be able to see, what is this all about? What are they doing? Look at the black, white, Hispanic, Asian. What's this about, man? They'll see the banners with, you know, lifting up and praising Jesus. They'll see the signs, homemade signs, children carrying it.
Right.
You know, praising the Lord, unity in Christ.
Well, John 17:23, they're going to sense with that unity and know somehow supernaturally
God
God loves them.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect time to tell people about him.
It's the perfect time because you can imagine. You can imagine something like this taking place. And here, a month before, it'll be a year from now, which is 1 month before the presidential election, mm-hmm. which, you know, is getting hotter and more heated mm-hmm. and angry and divisive. It'll almost be like an antithesis, a direct opposite.
Say that word correctly, though. I mean, we'll make sure they don't, it is right, but we'll make sure they don't think it's something else.
Antithesis?
Yeah.
It'll be the direct
the
opposite.
The antonym, the opposite. Yeah,
the opposite.
Yeah.
The direct
yeah.
opposite of what's yeah. happening in their culture around right. them and what they're hearing on the news and,
right.
and here.
It's a perfect time to present.
And hear all these different races and cultures coming yeah. down, not protesting anything,
right.
singing songs as they march, praising right. Jesus, ending right. up at Seville Park, mm-hmm. you know? Lifting up the Lord, black right. guy after white guy after Hispanic, talking about our oneness in Jesus.
Right.
Italian. Right. Talking about, hey, right. you know, we're all one. We're right. family here. Uh-huh. We want to tell our world what's happened here
wow.
with all of us can happen to you.
Yeah.
And the way to get there is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father and experience this right. except through me.
It's
and so, you know, it's like, The long-term vision, I'm getting excited here.
Go ahead.
The long-term vision, and it's one I believe in my heart. That's
so
why
if they want to sign up, they go to unifyinchrist.org.
And at the end of that,
so
as you scroll down at the yeah. very end of the website and the homepage, yeah. you'll see a place where you can plug in your information. If you plug in your email, yeah. you'll get updates okay. on what's going on here.
So you see that on your screen, just go there yeah. and sign up today. What's your cell number? No, I'm messing with you. Go ahead. No.
Yeah, the number's actually on the website. The number's
okay.
there, all
okay,
that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, email address, everything. Okay. But I do believe in the long-term vision, and I was raised Catholic, mm-hmm. and they used to have a thing that the Pope can speak ex cathedra, which means when he speaks ex cathedra, mm-hmm. it's Scripture.
Eschatology.
It's infallible.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you the Pope? Are you saying
no.
Okay.
No. I don't necessarily buy into that.
We're going rogue here.
I don't necessarily buy into that. I'm not speaking ex cathedra. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, right. but I have a holy hunch. I have a holy hunch.
Okay.
And my holy hunch is that I believe this is a move without a question.
Oh, yeah.
This is a move of
yeah.
God. I believe it is Christ's heart. And I believe it could go, it could actually be something God could use to be a catalyst to usher in an awakening, a spiritual awakening that must come to America.
Yeah.
We need, Greg, you know it's true, and you've been praying for it. We need another encounter, I mean an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the awakenings of
right.
100 years ago, the Great Awakenings historically
yeah.
in America, the First Great Awakening and the Second mm-hmm. Great Awakening. We need one that will rock
yeah.
and transform
change
cities.
Change the DNA. Change the DNA of the nation.
I mean, yeah. it could literally, it's not like I'm not saying, I know I read the end of the book in Revelation. I know that the decay will ultimately come. We understand that.
There's a huge harvest coming before that.
That's what I'm praying for.
Yeah.
And we could delay yeah. the decay.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Jesus said, we're salt.
Mm-hmm.
What does salt do to meat?
Yeah.
It gives it, before refrigerators, it gave meat longer shelf life.
Right.
We could become the salt that could give America longer shelf life.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
You're the salt of the, yeah. of the world, the light
right.
of the world. And if we can give, with the longer shelf life, there's a chance yeah. then. I really do believe
yeah,
that millions of people that are neither extremely on the right or extremely on the left.
Mm-hmm.
There are millions of Americans right now that are caught in the middle going like this.
Right.
Which way do I go? Mm-hmm. Who's right? Are they right? Are they right over here?
Right.
It's created a void.
Right.
And I think it's our opportunity for the body of Christ to move in
yeah.
to
yeah.
that void that's been created in our culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we move in together, united,
right.
man, we can break down all the narratives, the false narratives out there.
We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini, but be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts about unifying, coming together, everything that we're sharing. Also, don't forget to go to the VFNKB community and join a community that's making a difference.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And I'm hearing this thing, it's like, it's never a wrong time to do the right thing.
Oh, sure.
And what you're saying, this is the right thing.
This is the right thing. It's and not it's the right time.
It's the time. Yeah, exactly. It's just never wrong to do right.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is just deciding to do it. And then, you know, we spend eternity talking about this, but we have a thing called a vapor in this life that we need to do whatever we can now to be able to present as a gift for him there.
I'll make it personal.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm aware as I get older. I'll be 68, like I said, this couple months. And I'm well aware of how quickly time goes by.
It's fast.
I'm a grandpa, you're a grandfather, I'm a grandfather. I want to leave a spiritual, on a personal note now, I want to leave a spiritual legacy for my children, my grandchildren, and grandkids or their children that I won't even meet one day. I want to leave I want to make the best of whatever time I have left on this planet. There's no such thing as retirement. Right. I want to continue, like John Wayne, die with my boots on, man.
Right.
Keep serving the Master and make a difference to inspire my children, this is a personal thing, and my grandchildren, to leave a story that they can tell at dinner table.
Yes.
You know, old grandpa, man, here's what grandpa did.
Grandpa.
You know, and boy, if he could do that, maybe I could blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Maybe I can, you know, step out and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And we can leave something, an inheritance of faith, which is far better than a portfolio, and financial portfolio, you know.
Right.
To leave an inheritance. In fact, if I had a choice, I would rather leave the spiritual inheritance. Yeah. Far, far more.
It comes with gold streets and pearl gates. And
it comes with purpose.
Yeah.
To get out of bed in the morning. I've watched senior adults. I've ministered to senior adults plenty over the years. Did a lot of home goings, funeral services for them. But I saw the guys, the men and the women that had something to get up for in the morning.
Yeah.
That said, even in their 80s, I have a purpose. I can still make a difference. My life can still make a difference.
Yeah.
Getting out of that bed, and I'm going to do something for Jesus.
That's right.
And make a difference. That's what gives purpose. Everybody needs purpose.
Yes.
You know, when Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, the greatest hardcover best-selling book in American history, right? Why? Because people long for purpose in their life. There is no greater purpose than honoring God, the Creator, honoring the Lord with our life and our gifts and our talent.
Well, you know, and the Lord said, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the people willing to get out of bed for the righteous reason are few.
Right.
So if somebody's thinking right now about, and I just want to challenge you right now that maybe that's you and you're thinking like, I needed a purpose. Well, you just heard it. It's about unity. It's about love. It's about, you know, growing in Christ. It's about abiding with God. It's about being a part of something significant. There's one quote that you have in there. I think it's Backley.
Henry Blackaby.
What's the quote?
Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the book you wrote, that brought about a spiritual awakening of sorts to the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 80s, and then it crossed over denominational lines.
What did he say?
What he said was this.
This right here.
He said, look for where God's at work and join him.
Right.
And the thing was that in the beginning of the unity movement, all of us were seeing.
So look where God is at.
Look where God is at, where he's working.
And go there. Him. So many people are trying to create something different.
That's not there.
He's not there.
He's not there.
Right.
He's not there. But if you keep your eyes open and see the Spirit of God at work around you.
Dive in.
Join him.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we saw with the Unity Movement on the West Side in the beginning.
Right.
Hey, you know, this thing, you know, we go to a church. I'm walking to a Vietnamese church, Assembly of God, and the pastor's sitting there, and I began to share my heart with him.
Right.
And pastor after pastor. Church after church. Mm-hmm. Hey, brother, that's a good idea. You say unify around the gospel.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I can do that. 99% of those that we encountered were wide open.
So people are just looking for how that's going to happen. And one thing they can do that by getting your book, but also they could do that by going to your website at unifyinchrist.org. But I want to ask you this last question right here. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he had in his unity marches, he had what's called the 10 commitments. That you actually had to agree to the 10 commitments before you actually could walk with him and march with him, because you had Malcolm X happening at the same time. You had
all that
militant, you know, Black Panthers. Then you had, you know, and he said specifically that, you know, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that, right?
Right.
And darkness cannot drive out darkness, but only light can do that.
Amen.
And so his approach was, and his niece who heads up the King Center in Atlanta said that Dr. King's call wasn't to civil rights. He had a spiritual call. His assignment was to civil rights and that, as a believer. So his pledge, I want you to see this pledge right here that he had people sign. He says, they had to sign this before they could march. He says, I hereby pledge myself, my person, and my body to a nonviolent movement. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commitments. Meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus Christ, which is abiding, we're talking about, right?
Right.
We want abiding.
Right.
Number two, remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not
victory.
Victory, which is important because a lot of this political stuff is about victory. Right. And so let's go back to number two for a second. And so this is when we're standing up publicly, we're just going like, we want to reconcile people to Christ. We want justice for everyone. There's no such thing as a social justice. There's just justice for everyone.
Right.
Everybody deserves justice. And so the third thing that they had to sign to walk with is walk and talk in a manner of love, for God is love. Okay, the fourth. Pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. So it's about everybody being free.
Everybody.
Okay. Sacrifice personal wishes. This is about love requires, right? In order that all men might be free. So I'm willing to sacrifice some stuff I would want so that everybody could benefit, right?
Right. Which hold is back on my liberty for the sake of my brother so it doesn't cause him to stumble.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Number six. Yeah. Observe with both friend and adversary the ordinary rules of courtesy. And that's what you're talking about. It's like, just be nice, be loving, be kind. The seventh one is, you know, to seek to perform regular services for others and for the world. Just serving people, treating them well, right? Number eight was refrain from the violence of fist, tongue, and heart. Think about that.
Yeah.
Fist, tongue, and heart.
Yeah.
And this one thing that, you know, he knew that by walking, that somebody will try to hijack that movement like they did in Dallas. I know. Next thing you know, the whole thing gets turned upside down because there wasn't a covenant like this or commitment, right?
Yeah.
And so the next one was, number nine is, strive to be in good spirit and body health, because you got to march and walk and that type of thing, you know. And tenth, the final one was, you know, discipline yourself to follow the spirit of the movement. That's what you're talking about in this program. You're talking about this is, and you write about in your book, this is what it's about. It's not about that. It's about this, right? And you sign the pledge having sincerely considered what I do and with the determination and will be, will persevere, right?
Right.
So the question I have, you know, and Dr. King saw all kinds of things going on, because you're talking about the 60s.
Amen.
And so, and I've seen so many good things hijacked because they didn't have the wisdom that Dr. King had. And I remember showing up at a particular airport once just to meet some political figure.
Right.
And the media just swathed something up that's totally not true.
That's right.
Had nothing to do with what was going on. Right. It was a personal meeting with somebody to find out how they stood on something. And so there's going to be banners thrown up over what you're doing.
All right.
Do you have something similar to a commitment or covenant? I mean, somebody that, you know, because people could say one thing.
Right.
But what's going to help people know that you'll protect them with the wisdom of God, that some banner won't be put over their head and all of a sudden, you know, that they're scarred because of what was going on? You know what I'm saying? So what do you have?
Yeah, one, I think a few things help us. With this particular movement that God has initiated on the West Side. And that is where we had a verbal commitment with each other in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Some ideas that we agree that to leave all of our baggage, traditions, theology beyond the gospel, cultural issues at the door, political issues at the door, and only celebrate one thing, and that is what unifies us, our belief in the gospel. It was a verbal agreement in the beginning, but then we realized as we had our sights on bringing this to the city next year in 2020, that we need to nail down in writing some of the issues that on a smaller scale we could agree on as friends. We've known each other for years. But we get to the city of Pensacola, and I'll be meeting with churches this month, several of them, both next week and then at the end of the month in downtown Pensacola. We thought we better go ahead and put together some documents that would define it, that people have to sign off on. Very similar to this, not quite as in detail. But the one was what we mean by the gospel. What do we mean by the gospel? Mm-hmm. And to lay out theologically the gospel the apostles preached, the gospel that Billy Graham preached, with scriptural references to back it up, the basic essentials that Paul talked about in Romans 1 through chapters 1 through 6. And we laid it out in a gospel statement, very clear, very simple. Every believer has to believe these things to become a Christian. Right. You got to believe it. So we laid that out. In addition to that, we put together a covenant, a covenant agreement. A covenant is agreement between two parties. Mm-hmm. And spiritual covenants, of course, are spiritual agreements between God and man and with each other. And in that covenant, we basically outline some of the issues that are important to us. Number one, that we have come together, you know, that we believe the following, you know, tenets or guidelines. I'm in agreement with the following guidelines. Number one, that we have agreed to disagree on all issues beyond the gospel, but we agree on, all of us here, on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel statement, as declared in the gospel statement, that other doc. Number two, that I'm trying to think now, the I believe the other one was about keeping everything else out of our meetings, whether it be our gathering events in church venues or the march and rally, that everything else that we've agreed that we will not bring any other issues into our meetings. Then, taking a step further, we further agree that we will protect the integrity of this movement by not allowing anyone, other groups, to hijack this movement from its original purposes.
What's that?
That we'll do our best to protect this movement as a gospel-only movement.
So everybody that's walking or marching signs that, or just the pastors?
Well, the pastors representing the churches, these are churches.
So these people that have to have a pastor to march?
Well, no, but I'm saying for the churches that are involved, that are officially on board to march with us, we're not going to individuals, we're just going to the church families, that they have to sign that agreement that both they and their church are in agreement with that particular covenant agreement and will abide by it. That way, we can present the gospel once the march is over and we're at the rally point, wherever that might be, an outdoor event. In the case of next year, it'll be at Seville Square. That at that point, we can actually, at the end of all the pastors sharing, taking 5 minutes, prayers, music groups, a variety of host of the, showcasing the variety of the body of Christ, you know, and all of its different expressions. Once that's done, we'll present the simple gospel message that if anyone's out there, bystanders, people that have walked by and have been impressed with what they see and would like to meet the Savior that made it possible, that would give them a chance to accept Christ. Once they do that, rather than altar calls, we're not set up to do all that, but we can say, if you just pray to receive the Lord, congratulations. There are believers around you right now who will celebrate with you. You'll also find a sheet, and we'll have different info tables set up around Seville Square with a list of the churches that have signed on, that are part of this movement, that have agreed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You let the Holy Spirit of God lead you to whatever church you feel led to go to. But this Sunday, choose, ask God specifically, and you go to that church. Get plugged in. Begin to grow in your faith.
Beautiful.
And that's how. And that's the way we could deal with that. That way there's no competitive spirit. You know, but we do have a chance to share the gospel of Christ publicly right there, outdoors, united, in full view.
I love that. You know. Beautiful. We're going to continue with this interview on VFN TV. Catch us tomorrow. But remember how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget to join the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.